Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 106 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host as usual. Today, my guest is Joshua Lennon from Clio. Clio is a cloud-based practice management software platform, arguably one of the most often used and widely used software packages by attorneys, both solo practitioners and small firms, as well as medium-sized firms. Joshua is an attorney himself, admitted to the New York State Bar, and he serves as the lawyer in residence for Clio. And as such, he provides legal scholarship and research skills to the company. He's also a guest lecturer and has spoken on topics like legal hacking and legal technology at schools like MIT and Suffolk Law and others. And he's also well-known in the ABA circles for speaking in some of those organizations. So today we're going to talk about Clio, not so much as in terms of, you know, features and product capabilities. It's not going to be so much of a commercial of Clio, but we're going to talk primarily about what does a practice management software package do for attorneys and how can you leverage that to get greater efficiency and more productivity? And what are some of the unique factors that set Clio apart and things that I think bode well for the future of practice management software? So it's a wide-ranging discussion, a lot of technical jargon bandied about, but not too much. I hope we kept it to a minimum. And I hope you enjoy this interview with Joshua Lennon as much as I did conducting it. Here you go. Joshua Lennon, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm delighted that you had opportunity and took the time to be with us today. Joshua, tell our audience a little bit about yourself, how you came to be where you are today.
Certainly. So I am the lawyer in residence at Clio. And yes, that is a made up title.
Wow. Did you choose that for yourself? Because it sounds great.
I did. And I chose it because I actually serve a very unique role at a legal technology startup. So Clio makes practice management software for law firms. And back when I joined in 2012, they were a great company making great traction with lawyers, but they didn't actually have any legal talent on staff. And so I was brought in to serve as kind of a representative customer. I had been using Clio to run my own little immigration boutique, but also to provide legal scholarship and product guidance on where we should be going and how we should be structuring certain policies and services within the company to better service lawyers. I also ran the company's Twitter feed for a little while as well. So because of all of those duties, it wasn't quite right to say I'm in-house counsel. I'm not reviewing leases. I'm not directing company legal strategy, but I am helping the company better service lawyers. And because of that, I came up with my own title, taken from kind of the artist in residence that we see in a lot of other corporate environments, and applied that to legal. And since then, for the last 5.5 years, it's really been my pleasure to research the practice of law, to research the impact of technology on the practice of law, and to also represent lawyers' interests in shaping that technology for them.
Well, let's go back to Unique Place, the beginning, and talk a little bit about how Clio came to be. I find it, astonishing is the right word. I find it really interesting that the company achieved so much traction in the legal space without some legal expertise, guiding them. So Was it envisioned in the beginning that Cleo was going to be more than just a practice, not just, but more than a legal practice management software platform, or did they aspire to be more than that, or was it always a view on the legal space?
Well, it was always a view on the legal space. So our founders, Jack Newton and Ryan Gavro, were childhood friends that had kind of grown up looking for a business opportunity together. And Ryan Gavro was working for a large law firm in Canada called Gowlings, and was recognizing that their technology needs were probably greater than they had anticipated. He was a technologist. He was doing some coding and network administration on their behalf, but realized that there was a lot more that could be done. So this is about 2007. He contacted his childhood friend, Jack Newton, and they started looking for an opportunity to apply technology to the greater legal environment. And an interesting opportunity popped up with a conversation they were having with the Law Society of British Columbia. So that's like a bar association up here in Canada. And the Law Society mentioned that solos and small firms actually tended to represent a greater portion of malpractice claims and grievances that were filed to the Law Society. And they were wondering if there was any type of technology that could just help overcome simple problems that kept popping up, like missed deadlines or just kind of miscommunications between lawyers and clients and missed expectations. So as part of researching that problem, Jack and Ryan realized that the large percentage of legal professionals don't operate in these giant law firms. They operate on the ground in solo and small firms, and that nobody was actually building good software for them. So if you were a small law firm in 2006 and 2007, you were either paying tens of thousands of dollars for a PC law installation and the technology to accompany that, or you were hoping that an Excel spreadsheet was enough to keep you organized.
Well, I can personally attest to that, because when I was embarking on my solo career about that time, 2006, 2007, and I knew that I wanted to, I was a techie from before, and I knew what I was looking for in terms of running my law practice. And I wanted to run it in those days, and I still do, on a Mac. So that was another limiting factor. There was nobody out there. There was nobody out there for a solo practice. And so, as you said, I could have spent thousands upon thousands of dollars to buy a PC-based system and install PC Law or Time Matters or any of those other platforms that are very robust and very useful for medium and, you know, larger firms, but not really tailored for solo practices. Or I could roll my own, so to speak. And that's kind of what I did until I found something I could use. So it definitely was a need.
So Jack and Ryan kind of built the first prototype, showed it to the Law Society of BC, and the Law Society said, you know, that's kind of crazy, actually. It's way bigger than we thought it needs to be. We just wanted like a calendar reminder system, not a document management system, not a case management system, not a billing and invoicing system. And so they kind of just said, thanks anyway. And Jack and Ryan, after putting in all this work, didn't want to see the potential go to waste. So they scraped together some money. They hired a booth at ABA Tech Show, and they showed up just like two guys and a banner and a laptop, and had this really set of mixed reactions. So either the attendees looked at it and loved it, loved the design, loved the potential, loved the ease of use, the fact that they could use it on any computer anywhere, or they blatantly told them they were setting lawyers up for malpractice. It was a love-hate relationship right from the start. But the people that loved it really loved it and invested not just some money, like a monthly subscription, but actually generated huge amounts of feedback, were eagerly participating and collaborating in the design and requests of new features and of spotting bugs. And it just became a community that started growing. So when you talk about the fact that Cleo It's surprising that Clio was started by non-lawyers and became so successful. I think the starting of the non-lawyer saw the technical possibilities, but it was the legal community from the very beginning that gave guidance and inspiration and participation that have helped make Clio what it is today.
You know, I'm so glad that you use the word community, because I think that's exactly correct. And from my perspective, you know, as I watched this, as it was happening, it was actually quite something of a phenomena in terms of attorneys in that space actually feeling that they had a product and a company that was actually going to listen to them and help, that they could help shape, you know, the future of the product. And they became willing collaborators to the developer.
That's exactly it.
Again, I don't have any personal understanding of this other than my observation of people became evangelists for the product very early in its life cycle, much more so than I think other kinds of products.
We were lucky in that we worked hard to earn their trust. And those people then went out and actually, you're right, became evangelists. And word of mouth to this day is still the strongest driver of people to come and try Clio.
And I will tell you, again, I don't have any statistics for this, and it's just anecdotal. But my son was going on a cross-country tour recently to decide where he wanted to live. And he told me he was going through San Diego. And I told him that, be careful, because people who go to San Diego, once they get there, they never leave. And I honestly feel the same way about people who use Clio. I know other platforms and other users who have a love-hate relationship with their practice management software package. But people who come to Clio, you know, I don't know that they ever leave. And I've certainly not heard that many.
Just from a business perspective, yeah, people do leave. They retire. They join other law firms. They leave the practice of law. There are lots of people who leave Clio. But I can say that we work very hard for the people that stay.
Yeah. And they're not leaving because they're not happy with the product. I think that's the point I was trying to make. And I don't mean to blow the Clio horn here. Because as everybody who listens to this podcast knows, I use a competitor. And I'm very happy with my competitor, but I can see the value of the product. So let's talk about, you know, some of the things that it does. And I don't want to get into a whole kind of feature review, but in general, you know, let's talk about what are the kinds of things that a practice management platform such as Clio, what can that do for a solo practitioner to make them more successful?
Well, I think practice management's big contribution to solo and small law firms is it actually provides a central organization scheme around which they can structure their day-to-day and their cases and their billing. So rather than trying to organize yourself across a bunch of different software, so Outlook for your email and your calendar and your task, Excel for tracking your time and generating bills, Word for your documents, and then hopefully, you know, some file structure that organizes your library of materials. Practice management brings all of that together. So rather than hopping between, is this email related to this case, which had this attachment that might be a document that I need, and dragging all of those things together mentally, practice management will do that automatically for you. So an example of that in Clio is we describe it as matter-centric. So everything has a matter. And so if an email comes in, I can link that email to a matter automatically. I can store the attachment that was with that email as a document within that matter. I can look at both my past and future calendar dates and tasks and bills that I have done for that matter, all in one place. So rather than having to jump back and forth and kind of hopefully organize this mentally as a construct and potentially miss something, right? There's always opportunity when you do that. Instead, we organize it for you and we take away that mental and physical burden of organizing to thereby free you up to then focus on the actual matter itself. Is your strategy in alignment with your client? Are you focused on the next upcoming task within it? Are you billing appropriately and making sure that you're capturing your time the right way? Clio frees you up to focus on all of those concerns, thereby making you hopefully a better lawyer for your client.
Yeah, and I think for solo practitioners in particular, solo and small firm practitioners, the extent to which you can systematize your practice using a tool such as Clio, it's going to make you more efficient and by extension more profitable. And that could be the difference between staying in business and not staying in business, frankly.
Yeah, well, what we're seeing is that clients are starting to expect a certain level of technological support from lawyers. Like, why can't I email you this document? Why do I have to fax it? Why can't I just log in and see my bill and pay it online? And so as we keep building and adding new features to Clio, that's one of the things we're taking a look at, is what features can we add that clients will use and thereby make the lawyers using Clio look good?
Well, that's a really important point. I don't want to gloss over that, because just by the same token as you were speaking, in the sense that as the product was being developed, the user community, the lawyers, helped provide feedback. Mm-hmm. I think it's really clear now in the last couple of years or so going forward that you're really looking at this from the perspective of not the lawyer per se, but the client. How does the client benefit from the lawyer's use of this product?
Yeah, it's becoming a major focus, I think, for Clio and the industry, because quite frankly, clients are the lifeblood of a law practice.
Well, sure. Yeah.
We have over 1 million lawyers practicing in the U.S., but if they didn't have any clients, they wouldn't be practicing. Right. So how can we keep lawyers having both a robust book of business? How can we make sure that as a legal industry, both in terms of technology and professionals, we're providing access to justice? And how can we do this in a way that is both easy and convenient for everyone? It's a really big challenge, but it's been fun to tackle it.
And you know, in terms of challenges, what are some of the roadblocks that you're seeing, or some of the hesitations that potential attorney clients are having with the idea of, saying, adopting Clio as a tool, or migrating to Clio as a tool? Mm-hmm. What are some of the pushback that you're getting, and how are you overcoming that or addressing it?
So I think one of the big pushbacks is attorneys are so busy that it actually really is difficult for them to look up from the case in hand or the client that they're dealing with and plan out a future for their practice. And so evaluating software, really kicking the tires, and then migrating can be a substantial undertaking if it's not designed well, if it's not guided well, if it's not supported well by the technology vendors.
Yeah. So, and I think along those lines, back in the day, when every platform had a unique kind of user interface or nuance to the user interface, and you really had to spend time learning how to use the tool, it was a daunting task. Nowadays, with modern tool sets such as the ones used by Clio, that's a little less so. So you can focus on actually the advantages that the product offers to the attorney.
Yeah, we've done a couple of things to really try and make that clear. So we have free trials, so attorneys can actually come in and see if we're the right fit for them. We have unlimited support. So I'm going to caveat that. We have unlimited support available 17 hours per day, every weekday. But that means you can call, email, or, and I think this is something kind of different to Clio, we've actually built an in-app chat function for attorneys. So if you're working on something in Clio and you're like, you know what? I don't actually know how to do this. You can quickly click that little chat button in the bottom right, be immediately connected with one of our support team, and they will find the answer for you. So that way you don't have to leave. You don't have to stop what you're doing and pick up the phone and potentially wait on hold. We've got good response times, but there are 160,000 lawyers using Clio right now. So our support team does sometimes have a little bit of a wait on the phone. So that's why we built a chat function. So we can just get you an answer right away and you can just get back to work.
To a lazy guy like me, that's invaluable. Because I don't want to have to.
You're not lazy. You're busy.
Yeah, I don't want to have to go outside of the tool and find the support documentation and do a search and maybe not have the right keyword and read the wrong article and I've wasted time. I want laser focus.
That keyword is actually a really interesting complaint because that's another thing that we've done to focus on that. So we, as questions come in from our community, we've been documenting them because we know that different jurisdictions and different practice areas will use different language, even if they might be talking about the same functionality. So I might use the term mail merge when talking about a document automation feature, and you might talk about it as document automation.
Yeah.
And so part of the thing we've been doing in our support library is we've been documenting these. And from a maintenance kind of and content perspective, it generates a lot of redundancy, which sounds bad, but it's actually been really helpful to the attorneys that use us because it means when they search, they can use their own language and find an answer to their question on our support site rather than having to jump through a bunch of articles and hope they've picked the right term.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's just take one step back and two steps forward then to make sure that our audience understands that, you know, Clio is cloud-based, so it's platform agnostic. So I'm quite guilty, and happily so, of being an Apple fanboy. And so I sometimes come across here as being all Apple all the time and dismissive of the Windows world. But the fact of the matter is they're the larger community out there in the legal space. And so Clio, again, was one of the first to be platform agnostic and to move up into the cloud and have now totally refined that mode to where it's the standard now versus the exception.
Yeah. So being cloud-based, that means any computer with an internet connection means you can access your files and your practice. So you just go to Clio.com and sign in, and all of your information is there. And it appears exactly the same no matter what computer you use, which I think is something that a lot of people take for granted nowadays.
But they shouldn't, because that's not a simple task. And it is that capability that more and more gives solo and small firm practitioners the ability to practice in a virtual or office-free environment, which I think is the primary advantage today that solos have in terms of finding an economy of scale that allows them to be profitable.
I agree with you. Yeah, the ability to control your overhead.
Yep.
So that could mean working out of a home office. That could mean using like an office share like Regis or WeWork. From when you need to be outside of your home and meet with clients, but not pay a full month's rent all the time, but still have that infrastructure supporting you no matter where you are.
And another key component of that is, I think, the mobile application. Again, I'm not sure that Clio was the first, but I do know that their mobile application to use on your smartphone or tablet is really very robust. Tell us a little bit how that works.
Sure. So the mobile app is available for both iPhone and Android, and we have tablet-specific apps as well. Yep. So they're specifically formatted for the different size screens and to give you a different workflow. But they allow you to do and access most of the exact same things that you do from your computer. So you can track your time. You can review documents. You can generate communications back and forth with clients, all of which sync directly to the matters and the contacts within Clio as a whole. So if I write a message to my client from my mobile Clio app, that message will show up across across Clio every time I log in. And we now have attorneys that are going to court with nothing more than a mobile phone and a tablet in their hand because they have access to all of their documents there. They have access to all of the notes that they've taken along the way. They're even able to bill that time accurately, like to the minute, rather than guesstimating how much time they spend at a hearing. And it even actually lets those same attorneys work on other cases while they're waiting for their time before the bench. So it keeps them productive. It makes it easy for them to give that client service that so many people expect without necessarily hampering themselves from doing other things.
Yeah, and you just simply in today's age, if you want the practice management software platform to be used, it has to be available on the tools I have at hand and in the locations where I'm located.
And, yeah, absolutely.
And so all of us now have our phones surgically attached. So it just makes sense. This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM and case management tool I've been using for years to manage my practice. If you're feeling swamped trying to keep track of cases and clients, but you don't want to pay the hefty price tag of something like Salesforce or other legal-specific tools, I recommend you give Daylight a look. Daylight helps me prioritize my day. It helps me keep track of my clients, cases, documents, emails, calendars, to-dos, and reminders, all in one place. The case management part of Daylight makes it really easy to organize all the details and work for each case so things are done on time. The best part of Daylight is that it lets you work offline. You don't need an internet connection to pull up case details or info about a client like with other CRMs and case management tools. And new in Daylight is their Zapier integration, so you can automate things like pulling new leads from a contact form on your website right into Daylight. And for techies like me, you know that integration with tools like Zapier is really fundamental to making something like Daylight work the way you want it to work. So to learn how Daylight can help you grow your practice, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. And be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first month subscription. That's Daylight by Market Circle. This episode is also brought to you by my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. Visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. Spotlightbranding.com/TLE, brought to you by our friends at Spotlight Branding. The other thing I think is really unique about the product is the client portal. We touched upon that a little bit. And I know there's some attorneys that hold the opinion, I don't really want the client to have that much access, to the data that is part of their case, which I think is not really correct thinking. But tell us a little bit about the portal and what role it serves and what can be done with that.
You got it. So because we're cloud-based, there's actually no limit to the amount of people who should be able to access this if you give them permission. And that's a radical shift from the on-premise solutions that were available before Clio. The idea that you could be collaborating with your clients all on the same tool was pretty much unheard of. And so the client portal allows a client to log in to a modified instance of Clio. So it's branded with your law firm name. It looks like they're talking to you directly. But within that client portal, they can see information that you select to share with them. So maybe it's a document for them to review, or maybe it's their latest bill, or maybe you want to keep them abreast of the upcoming hearings to which they need to attend. So you add them to the calendar entry in Clio, and it shows up in their calendar on in the client portal. You can even assign tasks to your clients and have automated reminders that go out to them. So if you really need them to produce a tax form or another document, you can assign a task to them, and the client portal will notify them and keep them up to date on those types of things. And the last thing that I want to highlight is the ability to send secure messages. And as we're starting to see, privacy is becoming a real issue when it comes to communicating online. And one of the great things about Clio's client portal is it automatically triggers an encrypted connection, just like we automatically trigger an encrypted connection when a lawyer logs in. And so any information that is shared using Clio, whether it's a document, whether it's an email-like message, whether it's the bill, will only go across encrypted connections. And that prevents man-in-the-middle attacks and other potential harmful unauthorized disclosures. And it's actually just built into Clio. It's no extra cost. So it's a great security feature.
Just to be clear, that's encryption, not just at the start, the origin and end points, but it's mm-hmm. transmission and encryption along the way.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, in an encrypted mm-hmm. path. So that's very interesting. Well, I think, given, as you said, that the number one complaint to bar associations, the number one reason that people have fire their attorneys is lack of communication. I can't get a hold of them. I can't reach them on the phone. They don't return my emails. To me, the client portal, where they have access to, the information that you need them to have access to, and the ability to assign tasks to them through the platform, to me, that's just, it's a no-brainer in terms of being able to keep the client abreast of the status of their case and keep you out of the grievance.
Yeah, it makes a lawyer seem available 24/7 without having to be available 24/7.
Is it read-only, or can they write through the portal?
So they can write in terms of uploading documents, commenting on existing documents, and sending their own messages.
Okay. So if I had, for instance, a form that I wanted them to fill out, and the form resided in the document management portion of the tool and was accessible, and that form, if not more, but that form at least was accessible to them through the portal, they could fill it out, through the portal, and it's recorded, it's there in this native form.
Yeah, they could download the PDF, fill it out, and upload it again, and we do versioning. Yep. Of documents within Clio. So the most recent version would show up, but you could always go back in time and see the previous versions as well.
Okay, perfect. So the another aspect of the robustness, I think, of the product is its level of integration with other third-party products. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about how that's implemented and why that's important.
So again, this is a kind of a unique feature to cloud-based software, and that is that it doesn't have to exist on its own. The standards of the internet exist in a greater level than any one program. That's the robustness of the internet and why we're able to rely on it like we do. And so there's a thing called an API, an application programmatic interface, that allows different cloud-based software to talk to each other if they're given permission to do so. So early on, back in 2012, Clio realized lawyers don't just need, but we're already using different cloud-based tools out there, and that if Clio was going to better service forward-thinking lawyers, we need to make sure that we connect and sync and speak between all of those different types of software. So probably one of our most popular integrations is Dropbox. So lawyers will have a professional account with Dropbox. They'll pay to store their documents there, and that allows their documents to be synced across multiple hard drives via the cloud. And if you link that integration to Clio, you'll actually be able to see your file structure of Dropbox within Clio. So I'll go to a matter, I'll click on the documents tab within that matter, and then the folder in Dropbox that shows all those documents will just appear in Clio. Now, we haven't moved the documents. They still exist in Dropbox, but you're able to access them. You're able to build time against them. You're able to see them as a part of the whole record, all from this API sync. And what having an API has enabled Clio to do is actually support an entire ecosystem of legal technology that's sprung up around us. So it's quite difficult, actually, to build a widespread legal technology product because every lawyer practices law differently. Every jurisdiction has slightly different requirements. Every practice area has their own individual workflows. And so we listen to our community, but sometimes we'll get a request from, say, a DUI lawyer who deals with a lot of volume, right? And their feature request won't be the best fit for a personal injury lawyer that deals in expansive cases that take years at a time. And so you've got one guy who's handling 100 cases a month, and you've got another guy who's handling 3 cases a year. And how do you kind of weigh their request for features? Well, what this API has allowed us to do is actually encourage and support the development of third-party software that specifically targets those niches individually. So let me give an example. If you are a bankruptcy lawyer, you can take a tool called Next Chapter, plug that into Clio, and between the two of those tools, you'll have Clio as your practice management platform, your billing platform, your communication platform. But Next Chapter will handle your trustee organization in bankruptcy and will document all of the assets and their distributions amongst creditors. And that information syncs back and forth between Clio and Next Chapter. And between the two, you have a highly specialized set of tools for your practice. If you are an IP attorney, you might use a tool like Alt Legal with Clio, and that will handle your patent docketing for you. If you're an immigration attorney, you might take a look at OrderWise or Prima Facie that provide document automation off of the specific CBP forms that are needed for a lot of immigration work. And they also have their own form entry tools so that allow clients in foreign countries to enter that information without having to sit on the phone or on Skype with a lawyer. And again, all of that information syncs back and forth to Clio. So you can pick Clio as a hub and then plug in all of your favorite tools around it and still have that same level of organization and insight that you would have if you had built a custom platform yourself.
So for a techie type like me, this is nirvana. This is the ability to add customized features to my basic practice management platform and to pick and choose those third-party applications that get me the final 10% of the way there or an additional 10% beyond what I had anticipated, and even more so, and to create complex workflow structures that automate the process from one end to the other seamlessly. Yeah. In a way that was before just unimaginable.
Well, I actually think even fiscally impossible.
And fiscally impossible, yeah. I'm just going to go back to a quick story. Back in my software development days, we had a vice president at the company that I worked for who wrote a book, actually, about this idea of linking together what was then called commercial off-the-shelf software, COTS software, and so that they could all talk to each other. He wanted to build a framework that would allow these software packages to talk to each other and exchange information. And, you know, look, mm-hmm. in the 80s, we thought he was crazy. little did we know that he's a visionary, because that's exactly what we're talking about here with these APIs. Since these products are moving to the cloud, they have these APIs and can talk to each other. What heretofore was unimaginable and undoable is now the future.
It's table stakes, to be perfectly honest. Yep. It's something that we just expect software to be able to do right now. Why can't I access my Word document on my iPad, even though those are two completely different ecosystems?
Yeah.
From like a technological perspective.
Or for instance, say I'm using an automated scheduling package where mm-hmm. my potential client can log in, see my calendar, pick a time frame that they would like to schedule an appointment to see me. Okay, well, that exists in and of itself.
We actually have
by itself
several different partners that do that. Sync that information
to do a Clio calendar. And what I don't want to have to do then is to take the information that client provided, name, first name, last name, email address, what have you, and then rekey mm-hmm. it in to my practice management software. I want to tie those two together so that information is passed over.
Yeah.
And you can do that now with an integration such as those that are supported by
Attorney-Fi, Legaler. There are several, actually, in our app directory that just give that opportunity to it. Now, not every lawyer needs a public-facing scheduling tool. And so it doesn't quite make sense for Clio to take time away from our core development, right, all the features that every lawyer will use, to build that for a subset of our user base.
Exactly.
But
those who want it.
But yeah, those who want it can get it. And the people who build those integration tools, right, they would never be able to afford to build an entire Clio around that.
Right.
It would never go to market. It would just take too much time and too much money. But instead, we've actually speeded up the development of software for lawyers on every feature by making this happen.
Exactly.
Everybody can kind of program to their core strengths. Every lawyer can find the tool that's the best fit for them. And I think this is really interesting and not very often discussed. But because we've got some standards now behind it, part of which are internet-based, part of that are industry-based. We now are actually building longevity into the system as well. So you're using Clio, it's a great fit for you, but then maybe you go in a different direction, or maybe there's a tool that's a better fit for you. You're able to migrate very easily between these tools because of our adherence to both industry and technological standards. And that didn't exist before. We have people migrating off of legacy platforms where the formats are proprietary. You have to get the permission of the vendor to get your data out. It can be really ugly, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
And one of the things I'm proud of in Clio is that I was able to push for, and people recognize, an attorney's duty to carry information forward. And we just make that possible as part of the product.
You know, Joshua, as we kind of wrap up here, otherwise I could go on all day yakking about Clio and
I think you and I both could. Yeah,
I want to touch on one other thing that I think is really unique. And like I said, I like to go to the Clio website, even though I'm not a user, because there are so many resources available to the small firm practitioner and the solo practitioner that educate them on the nature of practicing law in this space and of the client. Their publications in the resource tab on the website, I think, are remarkable. They're just really informative. They have a lot of value, regardless of whether you are a user or not. You know, guides on how to do bookkeeping and whether or not you need an online payment system, and issues with respect to the cloud and how to market and the power of referrals. And it goes on and on and on. There's a ton of information. And along the same lines, I know the conference that you all host is very, very similar in the sense that it's not Clio exclusive.
Oh, no. So I'll start with the resources and I'll work to the conference if that's okay.
Sure.
So at Clio.com, we do have a resources tab and we maintain an ever-growing library of white papers, of recorded webinars that everybody's welcome to watch. They're free. One of the things that I think people should check out first is our legal trends report.
Yeah.
So Clio is... And I'm not going to brag here. This is just a fact. The most widely used cloud-based practice management software in the world for lawyers. We're used by 160,000 law firms in 90 countries around the world now, which is really amazing to think about where we've grown and how fast we've grown. But one of the great things about that is it's allowed us to build a community and start getting insights into the practice of law by solo and small law firms that has never existed before. So Clio has a data science team that is taking a look at how people use Clio with their permission. Everything's voluntary and people opt in. And all of the data is anonymized and aggregated, so we don't actually see client files. But we can see things, for example, like how often does somebody generate a bill? And we can see a range of that across our users. So do people bill most often once a month? Do people bill on a kind of a random nature, which might indicate that their billing as a matter closes? We can see how long bills generated in Clio, again, as a range, have been open. And how long do they take to get marked as paid? And data like that is starting to give us insight into how people really practice law and what's really going on in these law firms across the world. And so for the last 2 years, we've been aggregating that data and starting to publish what we call the Legal Trends Report. I think it's highly insightful into the challenges of solo and small law firms. For example, we're able to say that the average solo and small law firm only really bills about 2.3 hours per day. And of those 2.3 hours, they only get paid for about 1.8 of them.
Yeah.
So that leaves 6 hours in the average workday where a lawyer is not getting paid and that they're having trouble even collecting on the 2 hours where they should be getting paid. And we were trying to work with our community to figure out what is causing that challenge. And what we see is solos have a lot of administrative work that they have to do just to keep the lights on and the business running and clients coming in the door. And we're working with our lawyers to figure out how Clio can help reduce that administrative burden and give lawyers more time to do billable work throughout the day. We've used that same data to create what we call our rate calculator, where you can take a look at the average rate of a practicing attorney in 32 different practice areas across the U.S. So you could take a look at Arkansas and see what is the average rate for an attorney practicing in Arkansas in family law? What's the average rate for a non-lawyer that works at a law firm and whose time is billed to a client? And you can use that to weigh your own services and see if it's something where maybe you're providing enhanced services or speedier services and could charge a premium on top of that. And it gives you the ability to make data-driven decisions around your law firm in a way that just hasn't existed before. So I highly recommend people grab a free copy.
Yeah, I read it cover to cover when it first came out. It was fascinating. To me, it's as if you sent out 1,000 surveys, each one on a different kind of aspect of the practice of law, particularly in small and solo firms, and collated all this information and presented it in a coherent manner.
Yeah, it's 60,000 law firms contributing this data.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable, to be perfectly honest. Yeah. It's one of the things I'm most proud of participating at Clio. So it's free. Please swing by Clio.com, our resources page, to download a copy. And then we take a lot of the data and the lessons from that report and these resources, and we package them in an annual conference that we hold every autumn. And it's called the Clio Cloud Conference. This year it's happening from October 4th to the 5th in New Orleans. And we invite the best speakers on a variety of topics to come and speak. So it's not just Clio. Although there is an opportunity to learn about Clio, there's an opportunity to interact with Clio employees. We bring a huge contingent down to this. So you can actually spend time with our developers and designers describing either something that you want us to build or describing something that doesn't work really well for you and guiding us through the best way to fix it, as well as hearing great keynote speakers. Like last year, we had Preet Bharara come and talk about his time as a U.S. attorney and lessons that he learned in prosecuting some of the most interesting criminal cases in financial crimes, I think, in the history of the United States, as well as more technology-specific talks. Like, for example, I gave a talk on Bitcoin and how solo and small firms should be handling Bitcoin from both an ethical perspective and from a technological perspective inside their own law firms. And we gave what I felt were some great advice on how to handle both of those. And then we unveiled the newest version of Clio that we had spent over a year building and got feedback on that and are iterating and improving on the 2017-2018 version of Clio right now alongside with our Clio Cloud Conference participants. Plus, we throw a really great party.
It's a really great party in a really great hotel in a really great city. So what's not to like?
And you get CLE.
And you get CLE if that's your gig. Well, listen, Joshua, it's been delightful having you on the show today. Thank you. Tell our audience how they can reach out to you if they want to follow up on something or just, you know, compliment you for a job well done.
Oh, thank you. So I'm Joshua Lennon, the lawyer in residence at Clio. And two of the best ways to reach me are Twitter, where my handle is at Joshua Lennon, L-E-N-O-N. Or you can always email me at joshua@clio.com. That's C-L-I-O.com.
Terrific. Well, Joshua, again, thanks ever so much for being a part of the show today. And I'm looking forward to seeing you down in New Orleans.
Neil, it's been a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to that as well.
All right. Thanks so very much for being with us today on The Law Entrepreneur. Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency, and therefore it only stands to reason that it'll do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. You know, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.